everyone. It is Micah Molson and the Too Good for Radio podcast, because as we've said before, the good stuff they don't want on the radio anymore.
No, no. And if you listen closely to radio stations, they'll hint at good stuff.
They will.
You know, we just interviewed the Vice President of the United States. Go listen to it on our website. You know, it's not good enough. You can't put it on the radio. You have to just
do it on the podcast.
Put it on the podcast,
which is we started this podcast.
Idiotic, but hey, we're trend followers.
Yes, that we are. Yeah. Speaking of trends, when it comes to dating, it's all over the place. Mm-hmm. But here's a guy that is an old school way of getting a note from an admirer.
Yeah, you know, I think we all have that. That early love or that young crush,
yes,
or somebody that every once in a while you think about.
And you still remember.
And what your emotions were when you were in high school or middle school or something. I mean, that's just, you know, that love is all encompassing. I mean, you are just smitten and you're gone and you're walking on a cloud, all that stuff.
And you got and you started doing the fortunes. Remember, you would list out and then like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, who you would marry and everything else. And you envisioned that, well, this is it. This is probably what my parents did.
Yeah.
I am hooked for the rest of my life.
And so sometimes that person is just kind of in the back of your mind, kind of sticks with you,
right,
a little bit, you know.
Nostalgia's real.
Yeah, sweet memories.
You go back and you go, what? Sometimes you wonder, what if?
Here's a guy who wrote in and he says, I'm 45. I've been married for 18 years. I've got two kids.
Okay.
When I was 14, I started going out with a girl. Typical teenage romance, exciting, intense. We then went to different universities and it ended, and I was absolutely heartbroken.
You know, the first one always is the toughest.
Sure.
And no breakup is easy, but that first one, you feel like your entire world has crashed down upon you.
Obviously, years go by. He gets married.
Yeah.
And now he's got a wife, 18 years, got two kids. Then last month, I got a message from my 14-year-old high school sweetheart. She told me she was divorced and had been thinking about me. She congratulated me on my career and asked how I am. I haven't replied. I don't know what she wants or why she got in touch with me now. So this has completely derailed this guy.
Why is it that men always think just because a woman reaches out to you that they want a relationship?
And even if she does, even if she's going, you know what, he's the one that got away, I want to try to rekindle this, the response is, hey, nice to hear from you, glad you're doing well, I got a wife and kids, and I'm happy on this side of the world.
Sorry, your luck broke bad. Plenty of fish in the sea.
What?
Great.
What other answer is there?
There is
none. But he is completely fallen apart here and doesn't know what to do. Doesn't sound like he's told his wife about it, and he's stressing about that. I mean, I think, you know, if somebody contacted you, wouldn't you just say to your wife, huh, kind of weird, this girl just popped up. Anyway,
well, yeah,
what's for dinner?
It was interesting. It actually happened, and not in this case, but it actually happened, and I let my wife know that during WrestleMania last year, out of nowhere, I was like, what? Mm-hmm. And she goes, what? I'm like, my first girlfriend from college just messaged me randomly on Facebook and was asking if I somehow had the footage of the WWE event we went to years ago. And I'm like, that was odd. And that's the response that you, and the why, I don't know, because she's just going through a divorce and she's reevaluating her life, and maybe you popped up in her mind. But that, to your point, the response is, great to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you.
Sorry about the situation. As far as I go, I'm happily married, got two kids, couldn't be better.
And the columnist writes back and says essentially that, hey, you know, someone pops up from your past, yeah, there's kind of a weird feeling there. But she says, your ex doesn't necessarily have ulterior motives. She might just be on a nostalgia trip. You can reply briefly and politely and help you to stop feeling anxious about this. You don't have to agree to correspond or meet.
It shouldn't wreck your world,
it shouldn't knock you off balance that much, especially if you're in love with your wife and you got kids and everything's fine. You know, you just go, hey, nice to hear from you. What's new with you?
Even if it gets you back in the headspace for a moment of when you guys first started dating, when you didn't really know how to talk to girls, it's still a pretty easy answer because you're married for 18 years and have two kids.
Dear Laura, I see you got fat.
That's all you need to say. No wonder he divorced you. I'm glad we broke up. Boy, did I dodge a bullet.
See, and then that would shut it down right away.
Shut it down in the, yeah, exactly.
All good.
Yes. So speaking of you know, the 21st century. You talked about how he got a message. There is a 33-year-old software engineer in New York City who is attempting to score dates with paid ads on Facebook Marketplace.
Interesting.
One listing that shows the man, Michael, posing in a blazer and his glasses with the caption, "This is a personal dating ad. How embarrassing for me."
Hey, stop for a second. They don't allow dating on Facebook Marketplace. So what category is he under?
That I don't know.
Or is he just buying ads? I guess he's just buying ads.
He's just buying. They don't care. He's buying ads.
He's buying ads, so it's not a category at all.
No, it's not a category at all. He's buying ads. So this one, he's in a blazer, looking his best, and the caption is, "This is a personal dating ad. How embarrassing for me, but also, I hope, intriguing."
All right.
Another reads, "Date Michael. Much more detail within." The Facebook parent Meta charges anywhere from $5,000 to $50,000 a week for ads.
And the... As if, so it could be $5, it could be $50,000. Yeah. We don't know.
The fan page Date Michael that is linked to the ads had attracted 52 likes.
All right.
And 50. Is that the most desperate one of actually buying, or is that a new and inventive way of trying to get dates?
I think he gets some points because, yeah, you go into the blender of a dating app. And look, it's like 75% dudes and 10% women, and then there's and then there's like these married guys,
right?
And so, yeah, it's a crazy thing to get involved in, and I give him credit for saying, "All right, I'm going to try to stand out and take a different approach here." So good for him, but I wish he wouldn't have said, "Boy, isn't this pathetic?" Because now you're telegraphing that you're just a limp noodle.
I mean, I understand having the humor that lies to self-deprecating.
Yeah.
But in that case, you want to put a little bit better foot forward.
Yeah.
In that situation, and so
I think so.
I'm with you. I give him credit for a different way to maybe stand out. It's no different than people who've taken out billboards. It's almost like an online billboard. We'll see how it gets him, but I don't. I mean, points for creativity, but I think he's just flushing money down the toilet.
How do you stand out? How do you stand out in an ocean?
Yeah, and I don't know if it leads to a meet cute at all. Right? I don't know if how did you and Dad meet? Well, he bought a Facebook ad that I clicked on, and the next thing you know, I was dating your pathetic father.
So Dad was like a mail order bride? Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all, my friend. Not at all. Speaking of things you pay for on the internet, you will not be able to pay for any adult content from Pornhub or its sister companies or brother company, I don't know, whatever incestuous thing they have on there, as far as those categories go, in the state of Texas.
It's stepbrother companies.
Yes, right, exactly. Pornhub and other adult entertainment websites in its network shut down site services in the state of Texas after an appeals court said it must comply with a state law requiring users to verify their age.
When this came up a while ago, that states were talking about making sure that kids weren't exposed to porn, that you have to, have an account and you have to verify your age. Pornhub said, "Well, gosh, this is going to be a nightmare. It's easier if we just block the state."
So on Thursday, porn sites owned by...
I think Utah did this too, right?
Yes, they did. And I think Tennessee followed suit as well. It's starting to come around. Pardon the pun. ALO Global Entertainment, including Pornhub, YouPorn, and Brazzers, greeted users in Texas with a long message calling the decision ineffective, haphazard, and dangerous, blocking them from entering the site. The message did not say how long the sites intend to remain inaccessible to users in the Lone Star State. So I guess everything's bigger in Texas except your choice of porn now when it comes to it. I understand what the states are trying to do. You don't want young kids. And is it really that much of a block for these particular websites to have someone have to fill out and use an age identifier?
Yeah, I don't know. I think most purveyors of porn, for centuries, really,
yes,
it's always been a thing you do around the corner. You don't.
Right, exactly.
If you subscribe to Playboy, it always came in a plain brown wrapper.
Oh, yeah, the black plastic wrapper, so you didn't see what it was.
So that you could receive it anonymously. So I think that's the Okay, and the whole idea for porn is it's anonymous.
So that's what they're going through. So because
yeah. I'm always surprised when I hear people say, "Oh yeah, I subscribe to this one account," and I get the it's like, "Really?
Yeah, yeah.
You're having trouble finding boobs on the internet? Is that is that difficult for you?"
Well, subscribing to an account leads us to this guy. You would think that George Woodville would be an OnlyFans guy.
George Woodville,
but yeah. It's not in the way you okay. think. All right, old George Woodville. Hasn't worn shoes for 3 years. And,
okay.
And now he is on OnlyFans selling pictures of his dirty feet online.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah?
He makes the most of his barefoot lifestyle and cashes in on his grubby toes. But he sometimes has to play the medical card when it comes to visiting shops and restaurants for not wearing shoes. The medical card?
He can't medically wear shoes?
I guess that's what he's trying to say.
I'm disabled. I can't put shoes on.
This is from The Mirror over in the UK. They say there are many ways people can make a little extra cash, and one man saw the perfect opportunity to make money, and it's all thanks to his dirty feet. George Woodville hasn't worn shoes since 2021. The 21-year-old embraces a barefoot lifestyle, and by doing so has managed to meet the love of his life, Roseanne.
Ugh.
The reason for the lifestyle change was due to George struggling with his mental health and claiming he wanted to experience the whole ground.
All right.
When he threw all his shoes away, he recalled how his family thought he had gone off the rails. But now he manages to cash in on his feet, as well as doing wonders for his well-being. Since taking to social media, George has accumulated thousands of fans who all gave him the idea to start his OnlyFans. He now makes $500 to $1,000 a month extra from his foot photos, mostly out of public places such as on trains and in cafes. This is when he met the love of his life, Roseanne, and the pair claimed that it was love at first sight, and despite her new boyfriend not wearing shoes, she doesn't seem to mind.
Roseanne, can you wrap your head around the feet thing?
No, I can't.
I really can't.
I can't even wrap my head around experiencing the whole ground. I don't like walking outside of my own yard with bare feet.
Yeah, yeah.
Let alone everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, because there are fetishes that it's like, okay, I understand why that might be kinky and that might be fun. Not for me, but I can at least wrap my head around it and go, okay, I see why you dig that thing. But I can't. I've not gotten the feet thing.
Are gross.
I think so.
And then dirty feet.
And that's another aspect of the feet thing is there are dudes who like them when they're dirty. And I don't.
I would be interested to see how many subscribers he has.
Yeah.
That as far as male to female, I feel there's a lot of weird dudes out there wanting his dirty feet.
God, weird.
Yeah. Roseanne then started going barefoot just a few months after the pair dating, but it's not always been. Smooth sailing. The couple revealed that they have been turned away from places for being barefoot.
Yes,
they should be. And admitted they've had to resort to, I don't understand the playing the medical card thing.
They're claiming that they may medically can't put shoes on. That's why they're barefoot. They should get access to this place because medically they can't. They have some sort of disability that they can't wear shoes.
Yeah. He said the choice for him to be barefoot came to him when he was walking on holiday with his mom and granddad. He claimed he was looking for a new experience and thought, why not? I just thought, why am I not experiencing the whole ground? Why would I not want the whole experience of it? So I threw all of my shoes away. He added that his family didn't really understand and revealed initially they didn't really want anything to do with me for a long time because they thought I must have gone off the rails or something, but that wasn't the case. He found that being barefoot had improved his mental health and said it's one of the best things he's ever done. He explained how he used to suffer from seizures and claimed that being barefoot has stopped them from happening. Ah, there's the medical card.
Okay.
I used to be a seizure person, but now my bare feet have changed it.
Okay.
He said when it comes to people's reactions, he claimed it could be one way or the other. Strangers are generally one way or the other. They either think it's great or just so against it, and they think it's really weird. Sometimes we get people to come up and say to us, wow, you guys are really inspirational, and it's so cool what you do. I think the fact that we're a couple and we're doing it kind of makes it more of a spectacle. And so, yeah, so now...
You don't have to be welcoming to all weird things.
Yeah.
It's okay if you just go, that's just weird.
And Roseanne is okay with his OnlyFans account, but her family are strongly, vehemently against it, and they don't want her feet being in any of his weird feet pics. They have laid down the law saying, he can do it, but you can't, Missy.
Okay.
No daughter of mine's going to be on OnlyFans with the dirty feet man, George Woodville.
How would you respond in this situation? This is a real situation I found myself in not too long ago. Having a conversation with somebody about the proliferation of the gig economy, that you can sort of make your own way. You know, if you're a musician, you can find your way onto Spotify. And, you know, if you're an artist or an author, you can put your own books out there. There's just a lot of that going on.
Videographer, YouTube
and so
pages.
Talking about, you know, that, yeah, you can sort of just make your own way with things. And so he mentions things like, yeah, you can be an Uber driver. You can put music on Spotify. And then he says, or you can do something like OnlyFans or hornyfeet.com.
Pardon me?
And that's right.
Pardon me?
That was very specific.
Yes. That's a little too specific.
That was OnlyFans, I get. It's been in the news.
Correct.
Even if you don't go to OnlyFans, you know what OnlyFans is. But he clearly said hornyfeet.com.
And that would give me pause.
You've been there, haven't you?
You had hornyfeet.com does not come up in just a regular news article.
And he tried to pass it off as, oh, no, I'm just, you know, for example, that kind of stuff is out there. You know, I don't know.
That guy outed himself big time.
I think he did.
He totally outed himself.
And I have not been able to get that out of my mind since the conversation happened.
No, you can't. There's no going back from knowing that that person's been to hornyfeet.com and may have seen George Woodville's gross feet. So if this gentleman listens to the podcast, you've been outed.
I was...
You're the hornyfeet.com guy.
That definitely threw me for a minute. Not for a minute. I'm still thinking about it.
As well, you should.
And I still talk to this person regularly.
You can't just throw that out there in the middle of conversation.
But before you got on this Zoom call, you were on hornyfeet.com, right? Because that's what you do on your computer, clearly.
It'd be like if you were discussing things and talked about, I don't know, when it comes to the adult film realm, you know, the movies like The Flintstones, and then someone goes, yeah, bend over, say odd number 24.
Yeah, that's my favorite of the series.
Right, or just the ridiculous one, and you go, okay.
Yeah,
you've rented that one before.
I don't know if you follow the Backdoor Babes universe.
Right, exactly.
But I think what they did in episode 6, where they did the prequel to the Backdoor Babes.
I mean, I don't know about you and enjoying all the different, you know, Flintstones, but the Hershey Highway series was written. What? You're always going to be that guy.
Like, yeah, I think that was, you called that up a little too easily.
Yeah, by the way, just to wrap things up, I know George Woodville, he hopes to have a Netflix documentary about him.
And he probably will.
And he will.
And he probably will.
And weirdos will watch it.
Yeah.
Weirdos will watch it. Now to cleanse the palate, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for animal stories.
Okay. I don't know if we can say that. Let's go to Australia.
Yes.
And this is a headline from one of the Australian news outlets down there. Snake hunter fighting for life after freak bite.
No, he's hunting for snakes. There's nothing freakish about that bite.
A well-known snake catcher is in ICU after a routine job went horribly wrong. Again, I have to disagree.
No.
There's nothing routine about catching a snake.
No, that's the hazard of the job.
And I think if you are a snake hunter, snake catcher of any sort, the odds are like probably 80 to 20 that you're going to get bit.
Eventually, if you do it long enough, you're going to get
bit. It's not routine.
Correct. It's not routine, and it's not surprising that you get bit.
Mark Pelly was bitten Sunday morning when his equipment broke during a capture, allowing the snake to turn its head and latch onto his hand.
Ah!
His daughter said, it's too early to tell how her father would recover. He's strong and resilient, and he hit back at claims that the family was seeking attention by publicly announcing the incident, saying she did it to ensure the news came from them.
I just don't, it's not surprising.
She says this was the first, quote, proper bite her father had received in 14 years as a snake catcher.
It was about, you know what, that's a good run of not being bit.
That is,
If you're a snake catcher and you go 14 years without a bite, you're doing pretty good.
The venom went straight into his circulation system from a deep bite, and he started having neurological effects immediately.
No!
I watched him lose consciousness right in front of my eyes. Tiger snakes account for 17% of human snake bites in Australia, with 4 deaths recorded. In the 10 years leading going back to...
Oh, so he's got a good odds that he's not going to die.
I guess so.
It seems like enough tiger snake venom down there.
this is what it looks like when you catch a tiger snake and it bites you. Even someone as experienced as me can tell, can get bitten. And you just go, yeah, you don't. I think if that's a job you get into, you know, if your job is, I don't know, climbing, window washing or something on large skyscrapers, and someone says, oh my God, he fell. It's like, yeah, that's probably what happens. You're outside of a building. You're going to fall off of it.
And that's why you don't hear a lot of people have that job.
Right.
And that's why a lot of people don't go into it. But a 14-year run without a bite is pretty good. I think they're maybe that's why they're saying it's surprising, because for 14 years he had a clean record.
Yeah.
So that's why they're kind of shocked that he would get bit at this point. But your luck is going to run out. It's snakes. They bite people.
So he now has a GoFundMe account set up to raise money, blah, 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 blah.
Do you give to that one? Do you give to a GoFundMe to that guy?
The snake hunter got bit by a snake.
I don't know if I give to that. I feel bad for him because now he's out of business for right now. He can't go hunt more snakes. But I don't know if I then give him a GoFundMe to be like, oh, that thing you do came back to literally bite you. I don't know if I give you money for that.
Why do people live there?
In Australia?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot
What's the upside?
You're in Australia, I guess.
If calling an exterminator means you got to call this guy because a venomous tiger snake has just come into your house.
Well, you got chlamydia koalas.
Right.
That are going, right? That's what they have, right? A lot of chlamydia.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have the Tasmanian devil's the only one down there.
Right.
You get kicked in the junk by a kangaroo.
Always.
They have giant spiders. Like, everything is out to kill you. You're right. I don't know what the point is of living
just
there.
Just leave the whole continent
just go away.
To itself. Yeah.
Just go away. Just let Paul Hogan live there with his crocodiles.
It's like, you know what, animals, you've won.
Yes.
You can have this place.
You know what, you've taken over.
Yep.
Go ahead and
you
have
win.
It. You win, and then see what kind of wild animals come from that.
Right.
Because then it becomes a Jurassic Park.
Yes, exactly.
The next thing you know, just we get bigger and bigger snakes in the equation. Up next, when it comes to animals, I know we'll get back to snakes momentarily, but I don't know if this gets you exiled from America or not. As a individual is driving their car in Maryland. When all of a sudden a bald eagle became trapped in the front grill of the car.
No.
How the hell does that happen?
Wow.
You hit
those are big.
Those aren't small. The driver immediately pulled over the road after colliding with the eagle and noticed it was stuck in the grill. What the hell is going on with that?
Isn't that against the law to kill a bald eagle?
It is.
Yeah.
Do you get arrested in that? The driver then called animal control.
Right.
I think, don't you have to call Congress at that point?
We do.
You're like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Report to Guantanamo immediately.
Exactly. Patch me through to Congress. Why? What? I hit a bald eagle with my car.
Yes, I need to make a speech to a joint session of Congress right now to apologize to the nation.
Exactly, because I knocked out a bald eagle. The animal control showed up, and they carefully removed the eagle from the vehicle. The eagle was said to be in good health and quickly released back into the wild. So the eagle was fine. But what? How did that? My mind is like, I see every once in a while when I drive here to the radio station, where we you know, even though we're not on the radio,
right.
Too good for the radio, we use their stuff to
record. Because they're not using it.
Yeah, why would they need it? We're too good for it, but they just don't have any use for it. I will see a bald eagle every once in a while here on 54 flying around.
Huh?
Yeah, from time to time. But I just don't know. What was it swooping down to try to? How small is your car?
Yeah.
Did it think it was an appetizer for it? Is that why it swooped down? And then to just, I would be freaking out. You pull over the side of the road and a bald eagle's in your grill?
I was driving across one of those long bridges that they have in Florida that go across a bay or something.
Yeah.
You're surrounded by water. And a pelican hit my windshield.
No!
And those are huge.
Yeah, they're not small.
And luckily nothing happened to the thing, but it just, the way it bounced off, it was like I hit a kid. I
mean,
it just like floomp, and I saw it in the rearview mirror, cartwheeling.
If someone threw a baby at your car, it would make less of an impact than a bald eagle or a pelican.
Yeah. So that's Yikes. That's harrowing.
Yeah, so thank God the eagle is safe. Hence, this person doesn't have to spend the rest of their days in Guantanamo for killing an American icon, the bald eagle.
They are studying ways that, you know, how do we feed all the people we have on this planet? We got too many people, not enough food.
Right.
And the more...
That's why we're building meat in a lab.
Yeah.
And Impossible Burgers and everything else.
Cattle farms are contributing to global warming.
Yeah, your cow farts are killing the environment.
And not just that, but it's using up resources, water and grass and land.
And lab meat doesn't just cut it for you. You want some actual meat there.
So scientists are trying to figure out, hey, here is another way, what kind of source of meat that would be alternative to beef, pork, or chicken. And they are saying, hey, we should invest in Python farms.
Yeah, brother. 24-inch python.
No.
Come on down to Hogan's Python Farm.
No, we're talking about those big snakes that wrap around and squeeze the life out of you.
How do you farm them?
Python meat could offer a form of meat much less carbon-intensive than current options. Farmed python meat may offer more sustainable...
That's not a thing we should be saying. That's not a thing. Farmed python meat.
You know, at least like around here, when you drive past a pig farm, it smells. You know,
right.
You know you're near a pig farm. That's about it. Can you imagine going down 55 and, I don't know,
Roy's
somebody,
python farm?
Somebody left the python farm door open.
Well, I don't know how you stop them from getting out.
I know.
People have pet pythons that get loose all the time that we find behind, like, walls.
Yep. Apparently, pythons can reproduce rapidly and don't take up as much resources as pigs or chickens or cows. Pythons have, quote, an extreme biology and evolutionary slant toward extreme resources and energy efficiency.
Are you python? Go ahead.
Pythons are a ambush predator that chews their prey up to 100% their own weight. They can see this is reasons not to do this. This is reasons to just kill the pythons and not make more.
There is a reason why they have the python hunting in Florida.
These animals are extremely good converters of food and particularly protein. And we might see a day in the near future where there are python farms, like you have a salmon farm.
Are you going to try a python steak?
Yeah, you just have a big old python burger on your grill.
I don't know if I'm okay with this.
And so I don't know that, we're running out of resources of meat. The solution is to make more meat out of python. I don't know if that's the right answer.
No.
If we got to the point where...
We have to have python farms.
Yeah, the only...
I prefer lab meat.
Yeah, I think so.
Give me the lab meat over the python farm.
Or I'll just make a salad. I'll figure it out. I mean, it's not...
Right.
It's not my favorite thing to have at every meal. But if we're at the point of, hey, we can't make more cows and pigs, the only thing left is pythons...
I'm out. Yeah. When instead of, to your point, you're driving down the interstate and there's a nice little, field where the cows are grazing. Instead, imagine just for a moment, a bunch of pythons and trees just hanging down looking at you. No, thank you. At that point, I'm out.
Yeah. Cows aren't going to sneak in your house and kill you. They're not going to squeeze your baby to death.
The other thing about the python is, let's say you go to harvest the steak and the python goes, nope, not this time. And then takes out one of the people working at the farm, and then you see them swallowing it whole. How long does that take to digest? Do you get like a random animal bone in your python snake?
And a representative from PETA is totally against this.
Oh, by the way, did you see this about PETA? I don't mean to extend this particular segment of the podcast. Did you see that they petitioned the White House about the Easter egg rolling?
No.
They want it to be potatoes instead.
Potatoes. It's called a potato hunt.
No, exactly. No one has Easter potatoes.
Yeah.
It's Easter eggs.
How fun. Go look for brown potatoes.
I mean, I know they come in different colors now with purple potatoes, ube, and everything else. But get the hell out of here, PETA, with your potato roll.
Yeah, I think,
No one wants that. Staying with food, though, Hormel, the chili maker, may have come up with the greatest invention in the history of food. They have designed new tortilla chips with a perforated line that splits the chip in half so you can double dip the chip.
Oh, that's really smart.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's the big thing with corn chips is you dip it once, there's not enough dip to chip ratio.
Right.
And now you're stuck with just regular chip and you can't go back in.
It's too dry.
Right. And you can't go back in and double dip.
And it is hard to get the right amount of dip on the chip to satisfy... You know, it's because it's too much for one bite.
Correct.
But it's not enough for the whole chip. That's the dilemma. What a brilliant solution this is.
Unless you have the rounds, right? Because our tortilla chips come in different sizes. Unless you have the rounds, you can kind of get the right. But this is the most first world problem in the history of podcasts.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people who do murder mystery podcasts that, out of their mansions.
Yeah.
This is the most first world problem we're talking about. The eater can dip half the chip into the spread of their choice, eat it, then go back for a second dip without risking spreading their mouth germs into a communal bowl.
I think this is amazing. This is the kind of innovative problem solving that the world needs.
Yeah, not the python farm.
Meat.
Yeah, exactly.
A stupid idea.
The double dippable chips break cleanly in halves that the company say are perfect for indulgent dips. Hormel says a limited number of the chip bags will be given out as part of a chili double dip kit complete with a can of Hormel chili. Double dippers that need to enter for a chance to win the kits online. They're hoping to be among the first and possibly only Americans to get their hands on the double dippable chips. You'll need to sign up at chilidoubledip.com. That is chilidoubledip.com, and she'll like it too.
I like this.
I do too. Oh, I think this is brilliant. That's why I said it's the best thing since sliced bread.
And let's
finally.
Am I wrapping up here?
Yeah, okay. We got the weirdest thief ever.
Yeah, I think so. This guy has been charged with breaking into another man's home. Apparently, came home and stole several rifles, a pistol, an electric guitar, multiple boxes of ammunition, crossbows.
Good Lord, who is he robbing from? Ted Nugent?
A nice bottle.
A bunch of guns and guitars.
Yeah, a nice bottle of scotch and a DeWalt angle grinder.
All right, well, you got to do. After all, you're shooting and crossbowing. You need a nice little drink and be able to do some stuff around the house.
But according to the affidavit that was filed, he's believed to have broken into a stranger's home and leaving by a suspicious note that said, 30 days, one, be cool. The resident was uneasy because he hadn't locked the door that day. Nothing was gone.
Except all those guns.
And no one was home. This was a different robbery.
Okay.
Yeah. So the man stayed at a friend's house, locked the door, and left. The next day, he reportedly found his door closed but unlocked. A large stuffed giraffe that usually sat in one of the rooms now greeted him right at the door.
Duh.
Things were out of place. There was a cooked, half-eaten pizza on his oven and a mini sledgehammer that didn't belong on the counter, and the kitchen was cleaner than usual. So he got in, left a note, and then cleaned the kitchen before exiting. He then found his electric guitar was gone, and along with his crossbow and this bottle of scotch.
Weird.
His bedding was tossed into the corner, and a wallet had been left behind containing the robber's ID.
He left a note and cleaned everything else, and then left his ID behind.
And he's accused of breaking in, stealing guns, but also cleaning the kitchen. That probably does need to be. You know what? They need to add that to breaking and entering is if you did something weird.
That's really weird. If God forbid, I hope I never have to deal with someone because just the invasion of privacy feeling you have. But it almost would be more unsettling if they did something like that.
Yeah.
Of like just moving your stuff around just slightly, cleaning your stuff, and then left a note of 30 days.
Uh-huh.
Be cool. No, that's not cool at all. How am I supposed to be cool?
Yeah.
You moved all my stuff. I don't know what else you may have touched.
Yeah.
I don't know what you cleaned.
That's more unsettling.
It is more unsettling than if someone just
stolen.
Right. Then just
take it.
Your window crashed in and things gone from your house. I can deal with that. That's scary. But touching my stuff, moving things around.
But you open the door. There's a giraffe standing where it shouldn't stand.
Right.
Stuffed giraffe.
Feng shuiing my apartment for me.
Somebody sat down and had a pizza. But then tidied up the kitchen afterwards. Yeah, that needs to be an extra level on the felony.
Then they're also then commenting on my level of cleanliness in my home.
Probably so.
And the thief thinks it knows more than me about how clean my kitchen should be. That would also be unnerving. This guy needs more than just this chart. To your point,
yeah
you got to add that to it.
Yeah, so that's currently in the court systems right now. They're watching that, so we'll keep an eye on this. That's an important thing to watch, and hopefully this guy gets the electric chair.
Yes, as well he should. And thankfully, through all of this, despite the kind of unnerving situation of the draft being misplaced and the guitar and everything else, thankfully his jar of Nugenix was safely in the medicine cabinet.
I mean, he would have had that man boosting power and probably could have walked out with a giraffe.
So the man's lucky that guy wasn't home. Because with the power of the Big Hurt and Doug Flutie, he would have taken care of it. And you know what? She'd like it too.